Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. It's the 16th today, February 2026, and 7:30 in the morning. I'm peering out the window. It looks like the sun is trying to come out. It's actually dry. Yesterday was a god-awful day. Cold, wet, damp, miserable. Unable to do very much. The day before that, which was Saturday, was a lovely day. It's very unpredictable, the weather at the moment. We just don't know what it's doing. I need to open my curtains a bit better. While I was incapacitated, let's just grab this stick. I was unable to open the curtains. They were just too heavy for me, and I discovered somebody had given us these lovely walking sticks, and I discovered that if you use these sticks, it's much easier to get these curtains open to their fullest extent, because I've got a desk in front in my bay window in the front room where I have my computer and stuff, and it is awkward to pull them open, but with these sticks, so it's now become the new method, whether ill or not. So that's been very handy, so I've just done that. Oh, hello, my love. So just putting the stick back. And just debating, really, whether it's a day to go, you know, if it's a nice day, it looks more like blue coming, I'm hoping. We were unable to go to the land yesterday and do anything. Today we may well. Need to double check the forecast, I suppose, although it's very difficult to rely on the forecast because who knows who makes it up these days. Anyway, I have to go to the post office. I've got another book to send off, which is rather good. I was hoping to work on my other book yesterday, but we're running out of logs. It's so bleeding cold. I've got to preserve the logs. It may even be that I have to take some logs back from the land, although they're sopping wet, but one could actually store them up. The other option is to go to the woodyard near me, and they've got some pallets, so grab some of those. We have some slabs from my neighbour, so they can go up on the land, so that would be good to get them up and put them around the decking, which would be lovely, I think, round the decking, and we'll have a chat about where they could go. That's the most used area at the moment, because we're in and out of the little workshop. And if we get a week, it would be lovely to have a week of dry and sun weather, because I'd like to finish off the gaps in the workshop, which would be good. We've got some more filming to do. We have had some filming, but I don't think it's quite enough to make an episode for this week, but it would be lovely to be able to do that. And there's lots of bits and pieces that we can do. I'm still haven't got my full strength, but I have got my flexibility and all of that, which is great. So, you know, I don't want to overwork myself. There's trees to come down and clearance work to do, but I'm not quite yet at the stage where I can handle the chainsaw. But it's all coming, which is the good thing. Excuse me, having a slurp of my coffee. So I've got a few administrative things to do, answer a few emails and what have you. I've got to go and sort out a day this week to get my brakes done on the van. Had a little indication come up that one of the rear pads needs attending to. So, you know, I dare say you get, I don't know what you would get, 100 miles, maybe 50 miles of, I don't know, because you can't just, you know, anybody will know, you can't just suddenly stop and have your brakes done, can you? And where do you go? I think we were talking about this before, whether Quick Fit is a place that does brakes. Did they do brakes? I can't remember. We were talking about it. I know they did exhaust. Anyway, we had that conversation. I still haven't looked that up, but I shall look that up this morning. What else has been going on in the last 24 hours? You notice I managed to get another one in. I think I'm expecting a parcel today, but it'll have to sit in the little box. We watched a film last night with Harrison Ford from 1993, I think it was, The Fugitive. And it was a jolly good film with, as I say, Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones. You may well remember it. Yeah, it's just a bit of escapism, of course. Thoroughly enjoyed that. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. It's funny, isn't it? Or if I had, I had no recollection. I was saying to Julia at the end, I said, it's lovely when you see these, you know, these big blockbuster expensive films. If you haven't seen them before, I don't think they make films quite as good as they used to these days. And not that I've been to the cinema for a very long time, seen any more recent films. I think the 90s and of the era of the big blockbusters is sort of over. However, the problem is that for me anyway, having seen it, it was enjoyable, but I wouldn't be able to watch it again for perhaps 5 to 10 years, because you know what happens. Whereas things like Laurel and Hardy, you know, and comedies, I can watch those many times and just enjoy it because there's something different about it, isn't it? You're not necessarily watching it for the plot. You're watching it for the performance and the comedy and the gags and certain things, at least in my case. I mean, other people may watch these big videos, films, if they're interested in the process of filmmaking and analyse why a scene works the way it was shot and edited. Yes, so it's interesting. But because the nights are being cold and dark, we've watched quite a few of these films, because what else are you going to do? I would ordinarily like to do some writing or reading. We have been doing some reading, so we not do this every day. And we had to get the duvet down yesterday, spare duvet, and wrap it round us because it was chilly. We had the Essie on, and Julia cooked some lovely soup, sort of broth, really, I suppose. And we had that with some bread and what have you, and that was delicious. But it's awkward to relax in the kitchen on the hard wooden chairs that we have, that are pull-out chairs. Although we have done in the past when we're reading and stuff, but when you're watching a film, it's nice just to sort of lose yourself in the movie, isn't it? And of course, I link the laptop. I don't have a television, so we don't watch this on the TV. This is, you know, downloaded or wherever they come from, a DVD and various things, on the laptop. So, and I can connect that up to the audio speakers, which are on a little tiny little amplifier that I have on my main computer, and so you can relax and have not the cinema experience as such, but it's nice to have it amplified sound rather than tinny sound coming out the speaker of the laptop. I'm sure everybody knows and does a similar thing to a certain degree, depending on the what they've got available. But yes, so we wrapped ourselves in the duvet, and actually, you know, it was very snug. It was very nice, very romantic. So that was very, very jolly. And we also caught up with some friends on WhatsApp and all those sort of goodies that one does, and had a nice pipe. And I did a pipe smoking video yesterday with some lovely Ashton's Guilty Pleasure, and put up the second half of the story, Smoke in the Woods. I'd like to do some more of those audio things. I know a lot of people say, Richard, will you do the audio book of Biggleswick? And I will, I probably will, but I'm not sure that it will happen until perhaps the autumn or winter, at the end of this year, because I, once we get these longer days, as we are slowly getting to, we'll be busy with stuff on the land and stuff. And recording an audiobook takes a lot of time and a lot of editing. even just doing the little stories. So I've got a couple of other little stories which I'd like to do, and that would be fun, but it just takes time, because when you read, you can imagine, I don't know whether you've read aloud to people, friends, family, even to children. You make a mistake, you mispronounce something, you take a breath, you may need a glass of water. All those sort of interrupts the flow. And I was brought up on listening to stories read on BBC Radio 4. I don't listen to BBC at all now because it's so biased and it is full of propaganda. But I used to, when the BBC was very nice, and they would have some good famous actors. You're right, my love. They'd have some great actors reading stories, 15-minute stories, 20-minute stories, whatever. And I used to be enthralled in the way that they read them. When I was at school, the teacher, we had a Mrs. Crisp, who was an English teacher, drama teacher as well, and she read stories. She read it very well. But other English teachers who read to us and other places you go can read very blandly. And actually, AI, what are you looking for? AI, as good as it may be, and I know a lot of people love it, it doesn't give you the same intonation. It gives you an intonation, a pseudo-intonation, but not as good, because there's an essence of real life that needs to come into those things. So, and I think people can do it better. Good actors. Not everybody, though. There's, is it LibriVox? And you get a lot of people reading there. A lot of Americans, and no disrespect to any Americans who are listening, but they read in a very monotone way. They're reading quickly, and yes, you can hear the story, but it's the interpretation as well, I think, is very important. And perhaps sometimes they're just reading it as sight reading it. Perhaps they haven't read it through and really thought about it or they acted out. But that's what I was brought up on. And I do enjoy trying my best to replicate that. I did read my children's book as an audiobook, Splidge the Cragflinger, and I've got the files somewhere. And I recorded that in the cupboard under the stairs, of all places, because I wanted to get rid of all erroneous noises. I'm not so fussed these days. I think it's quite nice to hear a little bit, not too much to interrupt the story, but a little bit of the environment that the author lives in. That's not to say that I would want to have ambulances, police cars, fire truck sirens and so on in the background. But anyway, that's just my thoughts on all of that. But yeah, it does take takes a bloody long time, which is a shame. I was watching, oh yes, this might come today, and I'm looking forward to reading these aloud. There's an old TV series from time to time on YouTube, up pops some of these old British television series from the 70s. And I've watched Hadley, which was a terrific series. My mum watched it when I was, the first time around on telly. I wasn't interested at all. I was a young man, didn't want to sit in and watch the telly. I was too busy doing whatever else I was doing, or probably mucking about with bits of cine and cutting and editing cine film on Super 8 and things. But watching it back has been fascinating. And I used to, a lot of it is in black and white, and then it went to colour. Interesting, because it went from the 70s to the early 80s, and the style of clothes and everything all goes. I think there's something like 54 episodes in total. So, yeah, that was a good series. But at the moment, up came something which I remember my mum also, she was an avid for these old series in the evening. And I didn't really watch much of those. I was into the kids' TV stuff, Thunderbirds, the good quality stuff. And it's called Raffles, you may know it, of course, because it was, I think it was originally written in 1898 or 99. And it's been performed or adapted into films and various things, The Gentleman Thief. And it was written originally, well, it was written, no, yeah, originally, of course, by the brother-in-law, as far as I remember, if I've got this correct, of Arthur Conan Doyle. And he was a writer. Conan Doyle, of course, was a writer and wrote Sherlock Holmes, as we all know. And it was a sort of antidote to Sherlock Holmes, inasmuch as back then in the Victorian era, Sherlock Holmes is the famous detective solving crimes with the chronicler Dr. Watson at his side, and Raffles is the gentleman thief who is stealing things with his chronicler, Bunny... Oh, what's his surname now? I can't remember. Bunny somebody or other, played in the TV series by Christopher Strawley, I think that's how you pronounce it. And Raffles was played by Anthony Valentine. So that's been popping up. And I was interested when I discovered that it was written by the brother-in-law of Conan Doyle, and it was originally printed in the Strand magazine, just as Sherlock Holmes was. I was interested to see if there was a compendium of the stories, and of course there is, and so I have bought a copy, and that is winging its way to me. And I'm looking forward to reading that to Julia, and maybe record some of it, read a bit when it arrives, maybe. And I, you see, because I like the language, that old language, Victorian language, it's quite nice. Some of these old terms and uses of words, which these days we don't use. And I do like a good use of the English language. I wish I was a better master of it myself. And I appreciate those that are good. That's not to say that there's a chap called Will Self who writes, and I used to hear him read his monographs or whatever you call them, his little articles, or what did they call them when you have to do a thing at the at university, you have to write a thesis, is it? And I've heard him on the radio, and he deliberately uses extremely obscure and unknown words, almost three or four in a sentence, to the point that you're not learning anything because you're so confused by the use of obsolete words. And that's no good to anybody, and you're just showing off. But it's, I think, what I like and what I appreciate with people like R.F. Delderfield is he'll express something that we might express in a very pedestrian way to get to the point with limited vocabulary. But he will use words that we all know and recognise, but it's just a delight how he has used them, how he has expressed himself. And that I find both rewarding and frustrating. Frustrating because I really would like to be able to do that myself. And of course, I suppose the only way you learn to do those sort of things is by reading and paying attention as you read. And I find that's where reading aloud enables you to pay attention, because you are having to think of the words that you read. It's very often easy to glance through words when you read silently to yourself, because you're maybe, not everybody, and I can't tarnish everyone with the same brush, but it's easy to sort of half scan the sentence just to get the basic meaning to keep the plot going. And I think we are in a time where most people have a short attention span and want to get to the plot. See, I can't speak now. Want to get the plot going or get to the point faster. We are very impatient these days, and that's because we live in a very fast-paced world, and unlike a good wine or a decent, anything decent, good quality cheese, for example, or a nice pipe tobacco, where you want the maturity to be savoured. And I think that's where reading aloud by expert actors, or indeed yourself, but slowly, is where you savour those words and you enjoy the experience. We rush by. And then going back to things like some of these audiobooks that I've just explaining on things like LibriVox and what have you, they're just too quick. You know, they're just getting to the point very swiftly. Now, it's difficult, I think, for a writer these days to write, because not so many people are reading. And those that are reading perhaps do not have the vocabulary range anymore. And a lot of Victorian stuff, I mean, if you read things like Anthony Trollope, for example, and many of these, and of course some of the classics, they wrote more descriptively in longer passages, and there wasn't so much left to the imagination. And I think that's it's difficult, because you can suggest something without necessarily describing it in huge detail, because the reader is intelligent enough to know exactly what you mean. And sometimes, of course, if you over describe something, the reader gets a bit fed up, because he knows what you're talking about and he doesn't necessarily want to have an over descriptive, very self-aware novel. And so a modern reader, you know, just wants to be entertained briefly and may not have a lot of time to savour. You think back in the Victorian times, of course, they didn't have television, they didn't have the radio, very few would have had musical instruments in their houses. They would have had a candle or a small lamp of some description. And these sort of things were their only pleasure and entertainment. And they would have relished the wordage and the description. And, of course, they may well have had limited experience of life and the areas that the author is talking about, and so you needed a greater description, which those readers would have grasped with awe as something was being explained. We, of course, have access to the internet, we watch films, we see television programs, we're much more familiar with all sorts of different professions and parts of the world, and houses, and, you know, all the sort of things that we see, and so we grasp it very quickly, and then that's the difference. But at the same time, if you write too bland, it can be just as boring as well. Anyway, there we are. That's my take on it. You may disagree. I dare say you do. My coffee is cold. I think I must get on, have a bath, warm myself up. I'm still in a big woolly jumper and just some trainers while I got up and got this done, made Julia a nice cup of tea. And the blue sky seems to be increasing, so it does sound like a good idea to get to the land, get these slabs up there and do whatever else we can. In the meantime, I will have a brief look at Facebook Marketplace to see if anybody has answered some of the queries that I've got, but as they haven't, I mean, in the end, you just think, sod it, I don't want to do business with you if you can't be bothered to reply. I did have my friend, I think I may have mentioned this yesterday, I can't remember, my friend Nigel saying, well, he had a reasonable amount of success with it. I've had none, apart from one dealer with a little grey Fergie. But anyway, there you are. That's it. Thanks for listening, and I will hopefully catch up with you very soon. All the best, and bye for now.